This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
More than half a million of us are living with an irregular heartbeat. It's called atrial fibrillation, and up to 30% don't even know it. And apparently it's a hidden condition that can lead to devastating strokes. And this week, it's in the spotlight, thanks to Atrial Fibrillation Awareness Week. And cardiologist, best-selling author and educator Dr. Warwick Bishop is with us to explain how something as simple as checking your pulse could be a lifesaver. Warwick, welcome to Drive.
Thanks, Warren, and really appreciate the opportunity to share on this really important topic.
It is important. What is atrial fibrillation? What's actually going on inside the heart?
Well, for your listeners who can visualize a picture of a heart or a visual of the heart, there's two chambers and two bottom chambers, and that's on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. And the top chambers are called the atria, and those atria squeeze and help the blood get into the main pumping chambers, which are called the ventricles, and then the ventricles squeeze. Now, on the right-hand side, the ventricle squeezes into the lungs. On the left-hand side, the ventricle pumps blood around the body. Now, the atria are those very special components of the heart that give a pre-squeeze to make sure that the whole engine works properly. In atrial fibrillation, the synchronicity, the coordination, the regulated timing of the atria goes out and they become chaotic, Warren. Oh. They almost tremble or wriggle around. The word we use is fibrillate, so we call it atrial, relating to the atrial chamber, fibrillation relating to them just trembling or quivering.
So
they don't work.
In terms of atrial fibrillation, why is early detection such a game changer with this condition?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One is because it affects so many people, and that means that if we look for it, we'll find it for sure. We're talking 500,000 people across Australia, and to visualise that, 500,000 people is the population of all of Tasmania. Mm. So it's a lot of people. But really, one of the most significant reasons is because this condition can lead to stroke, and stroke is catastrophic. And many, many people will have their first presentation of atrial fibrillation being with a stroke. And that's because nearly 30% of Australians can actually be in this rhythm and not even know, Warren.
Now, with the stroke, my understanding is it's some of the most debilitating strokes you can have. Why is that?
Well, if you think about what I described with the top chambers of the heart quivering and not moving properly, where there's, just inefficient pumping. They're not squeezing like they should. If those chambers are not pumping properly, then blood can pool, particularly in the left atrium, because the left atrium feeds the left ventricle and the left ventricle pumps blood around the body. Now, if you've got blood pooling in the left atrium, blood that pools for any length of time can clot. And so if a clot forms in the left atrium, that breaks free, goes into the left ventricle, then it can be pumped around the body. Now 25% of blood flow goes to the brain. So you've got a really big chance of a big piece of clot, we call it thrombus, but a big piece of clot going to the brain. And if it goes to the brain, gets lodged in a blood vessel, it'll block the blood flow in that blood vessel, causing a stroke. And that's a catastrophe.
Now, does atrial fibrillation, does it target's the wrong word, but does it tend to impact a certain age group, or can anyone get it?
Look, that's a really good question. And when I'm talking with my own patients, I'll often say, look, the incidence is around 1 or 2% in the entire population. But if we were to look at the population over 80 years of age, we're talking an incidence rate of around 10, 15, and as people get older, up to 20%. So really importantly, Warren, age is one of the most significant risk factors. And we can't avoid that. We can't dodge it. It's a non-modifiable risk factor. But the things we can impact, which really play into atrial fibrillation, are carrying too much weight, having too high a blood pressure for too long, and drinking too much alcohol. These are really significant risk factors for developing the condition.
We're chatting with cardiologist and author Dr. Warwick Bishop about Atrial Fibrillation Awareness Week and how a simple check could be the life-saving habit that we all need. Let's talk about this 30-second health check, Warwick. How exactly can we do it?
Well, look, it's pretty simple, and I think there's a couple of points to make here. One is that opportunistic checking whenever you're with a medical person is a great idea. So for my own patients over 60 to 65, I will regularly check their pulse. And by doing that, you will identify people who are in atrial fibrillation and not aware of it. So that's really important, making sure healthcare professionals will check your pulse for you. These modern watches will often give people an alarm, but often the wearers of modern watches are the younger cohort, not the older cohort, who are at risk. So there's a bit of education between the generations that can go on, and there's plenty of people who... plenty of individuals at risk of atrial fibrillation because of their age will have children and grandchildren who would love to help by checking grandpa or grandma's pulse. You can check your own pulse. Can be a bit tricky if you're not used to it. Often your partner's going to be better at checking your pulse. So your significant other will know, will be able to feel your wrist pulse better than you can, or be able to feel the pulse in your neck. Or even if you're laying with someone, they may feel a different heartbeat. And that could be a clue. And many of us will know someone who's training to do nursing or exercise physiology or even medicine, and those students would love to feel a pulse and just check. So the underlining here, the highlighting here, is to make sure that people are aware that the condition is really common, that a large number of people don't even know, and that having a feel of the pulse is a really good starting point for trying to identify this condition.
And when we're feeling for the pulse, what are we looking out for? Is it sort of an inconsistent beat, or what are we looking for?
Yeah, great question. And in fact, because I said to you the atria sort of tremble or shake or don't move properly, what they do is they bombard the lower chambers of the heart with erratic electrical signals. And those erratic electrical signals mean that the pulse has a character that we describe as irregularly irregular. So it has no structure to it at all, none. So irregularly irregular, because sometimes we'll get a heartbeat that goes boom, 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 and it's a little bit irregular, but it's predictably irregular, slightly different for atrial fibrillation.
Now, you mentioned about smartwatches a little earlier. I have to confess, before we started this interview, I've got my smartwatch and I put my finger on it and did an ECG just to, because, course, well, this is what course. The Awareness Week is about. Anyway, it said there are no signs of atrial fibrillation, which is good news. How reliable are these devices?
Look, they're not too bad, and they're getting better all the time, Warren. I think it would be fair to say that in the early days, they were a great source of business for cardiologists because the irregularities of pulse would raise flags and people would come in anxious, apprehensive, and the data was poor. But the devices are getting better. But one of the crux issues is that the people who wear them are generally not the people who are at risk of atrial fibrillation. They're often worn by people who are younger and less likely to have all the risk factors associated with the condition. Having said that, I think we're going to see more and more use of wearables. And if you do identify a pulse that is irregular in any way, shape or form, particularly in people as they're aging and have other risk factors, then it's a great signal to just go and get checked. So I think they're going to be really a more and more important component of how we manage this condition.
Now, Warwick, importantly, if we do check or someone checks our pulse and does notice something unusual, what's the next step? Do we head off to emergency or do we go see our GP? What should we do?
You need to see a doctor pretty quickly. I've written a book about atrial fibrillation. I'm not sure about promotion on this channel, but I want to have a quick shout out for Hearts for Heart, who are the patient support organisation driving this awareness week, which is profoundly important. They, on their website, have got a number of resources, and in the books component, I've put together with them a special resource for atrial fibrillation. And in that, I actually answer the question. And the question as to whether you need to go to hospital or not. Well, generally, you don't have to rush to hospital straight away if you feel fine. It is a nuisance condition, but it needs to be treated in a couple of days without question. And if it causes problems, chest pain, shortness of breath, dizziness, then that's an indicator to go to hospital. So some people might have atrial fibrillation, be aware of it, and take themselves to hospital at a sedentary pace without too much anxiety. But it is important to get it sorted pretty quickly. And the reason is we want to thin the blood with special blood thinners to reduce the risk of that clot forming in the heart, to reduce the risk of subsequent stroke. Often the heart's going very quickly, so we give medications to slow the heart down as well. And in many circumstances, we look to reverse that atrial fibrillation and restore normal sinus rhythm. So there's a whole lot of good reasons to see your doctor as soon as possible. But I want to emphasize that you don't have to be super scared straight away because the anxiety doesn't help the process. But a sensible and confident movement towards your doctor as soon as possible makes perfect sense.
And I imagine the sooner you get it, the more chances of it being treatable. Is that right?
Yeah, look, a couple of hours a day or so doesn't make a huge hill of beans. But certainly, for example, I identified a patient just recently who'd had 3 to 5 months of shortness of breath following on from a respiratory tract infection. And in that situation, as time progresses, we have less and less chance of restoring rhythm. So, yeah, we do like to get people early. But the most important thing is to reduce that risk of stroke as an absolute primary focus, Warren. It's such a catastrophe, and it is amenable to treatment.
Warwick, thank you so much for joining us. It's a really important conversation. Appreciate your time.
Warren, really appreciate the chance to share and raise people's awareness.
Thank you. That was Dr. Warwick Bishop, cardiologist, best-selling author and educator. And during Atrial Fibrillation Awareness Week, take a moment to check your pulse. It could be the simple steps that help prevent a stroke, as Warwick mentioned.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.